Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek protection with Allah from Shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM listeners, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, featuring your host, Mark Shaheed and Quran Shakir. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. We call this program a learning lab, which means it is a place to examine, explore, and find answers to the intricacies of what it takes to find one's other half and to find joy, peace, and tranquility inside of the marriage relationship. We ask you to grab a pen and a pad and journey with us, co-hosts Mark and Quran, to examine sound approaches to finding a mate and the do's and don'ts and prescriptions for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage, inshallah. The Learning Lab shares lessons that, inshallah, lead to a beautiful and memorable wedding day and a fulfilling marriage with faith, affection, peace, and joy. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to present my esteemed co-host, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم مبارك. With the name of Allah, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the Nourisher, the Sustainer, the Guardian Evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheen, the host, the facilitator, and also along with Quran Shakir of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that is heard each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. And for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, that this Learning Lab just recently celebrated its 6th anniversary, beginning all the way back in the year October 2015 on our sister station AM 360 Radio, now continued here on IWDM Radio. And it's quite an honor to work with Quran Shakir on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And as Quran just stated, this is a learning lab, but it is your learning lab. We do invite you to always bring a pen and a notebook, because I think you'll find that there will be some noteworthy things that will be said in each and every learning lab. We do invite you to participate in terms of asking a question or making a comment on any of the information, education that we disseminate each and every week. And those persons who may tune in religiously and just absorb all the information, we also would like to hear from you. This information is resonating with you. We'd love to hear from you. And you can do that by pressing 1 on your keypad as you listen in. And for those who may be listening in by way of the Internet, we do invite you to call in live here to the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. We always invite you to bring someone along, a member of your family, a friend, a neighbor, a community member to the Learning Lab. So this is an excellent opportunity as we are just opening up the Learning Lab to text or call someone, Facebook someone, that you think that could benefit from listening in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Regardless of what your status is, there's always something that you can gain and benefit from tuning in each and every week. We do also ask that you visit us and befriend us on Bring It to the Lab Facebook and also Instagram, and also we establish an email, bringittothelab@gmail.com, where you can make comments there. And you can also make requests, maybe some futuristic topics that you would like for Karan and myself to take on. So we do ask that you utilize these utilities in communication with you. We want to say that we have established some staples, that this Learning Lab emphasizes the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. Putting strong emphasis on Islamic courtship, there is courtship and there is dating. We have differentiated here on the Learning Lab over the years that the verbiage should be courtship, and for those of us who are Muslims and believers, it is Islamic courtship. There's do's and there's don'ts. At some point, we will go over those do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and also what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage, as Karan said in her opening comments. We also want you to know that we utilize Al-Quran, that is the Quran, and the life example of the Prophet Muhammad in the demonstration of the revelation of the Quran, and the tafsir, the clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad on both Quran and also the life example of the Prophet as staples, as the foundation for this Learning Lab as well as the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We have been utilizing for over 4 months now an excellent text publication by our beloved Sister Akila Nafisa Rashid in the excellent publication of Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet in Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. This is a very unique publication, and then our beloved Sister Akila uses the word ripple, which comprises 6 letters, and using each one of those letters to represent principles, principles that we should have in our relationship if, in fact, we want to have a Muslim marriage makeover, and also the demonstration of that in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the prayers and the peace be upon the Prophet in making a big change in our life, and also have a reverberating effect not only on the family but community and society at large. So that word ripple, just to let you know, and we do invite you to purchase that book so that you can come along with Karan and myself each and every Thursday night. It's an excellent publication, and we've already covered the first letter, which is respect, and most recently we completed the second letter in the word ripple, I, which is intimacy. A lot of great information in those first two. And now we on the first P in the word acronym RIPPLE that's given by Sister Akila, which is partnership. Partnership, and after we complete that, and then we'll be moving to peace, and then the L representing love, and finally the E, equality. So if you have the book, it make it a lot easier to follow along, and Karan has highlighted some very important points in this publication, and this will be the topic for the Learning Lab until we complete it. And we also have had one of our very scholarly Learn Imams and we'll be inviting him back for each one of those principles to give some commentary to us, Imam Fahim Shuaib. So look forward to that, and then we will look forward to having other invited special guest facilitators here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So those of you who tune in, you know we always do overview, and for that we go to our very distinguished and esteemed co-host and the facilitator of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, my partner, Quran Shakir. Once again, assalamu alaikum to you, Quran.
Wa alaikum islam, and it's always good to hear your voice. And to our listening audience, Brother Mark said it, and I just want to reiterate it. If you are listening right now, we ask you to pause now to let your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM. That's how your message should sound. And then go ahead and tell them how much you are enjoying it and invite them to join you. And if you're not listening in the studio with us, we do invite you to join us in the studio. So go ahead and send them a text as you also join us at 714-816-4673. We need all of you here listening and being a part of this conversation because, as Brother Mark said, this learning lab is for you. We're not doing this just for us. This is for you, and we really value our community having strong marriage and family relationships. So without further ado, let me go ahead and share what our last conversation was. And I know in the last 2 weeks we've had some special guests on, and I hate that I wasn't able to hear them, but alhamdulillah, as the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab celebrates its 6th year, alhamdulillah, we had Sister Munira Abil on, and last week, Dapreetha Hadid, wonderful, both of those. So the last time that I was on the program, we did have a conversation. We finished Chapter 11, Mark, so we are now ready to get into Chapter 12. So on the last program, we looked at the idea of Shura Bainahum and this idea of the mutual consultation. And, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran to obey those in authority. So we had a conversation about this idea of obeying those in authority and how sometimes when we look at that revelation that comes to us that commands us to obey those in authority, oftentimes it is interpreted or translated to mean imam. But our conversation in our last program was that that's incorrect to say that it is for imam that it's talking about when it talks about authority. The actual word that is translated as those in authority over us is really ul amur or amir, like an amir. And the root word is amara, which means to command, order, or enjoin. So this can be anybody who is in charge or has the ability to command, order, or enjoin, not just the imam. So this applies to both males and females in society. And that was a part of our conversation that we talked about. And in having that conversation, we talked about the fact that women are leaders too. And women can be spiritual and material leaders. And if we respect that whole idea that the leadership is in all of us, and that means everyone deserves respect, especially if they're in a position to give command and lead us, and it's not just a position held just for the imam, but anyone in authority. When we appreciate what Allah tells us to do, it makes it easier for us to respond to all the other things that will fall into place in our lives. And with that, then we understand also Allah says in the Quran that the male is not like the female. And so we don't expect to have leadership where we're to look alike in how they do things, but we respect the position of leadership and the concept of leadership that lies within them. And given that, then they have the responsibility then to be civil in their leadership, to be humane in their leadership, and to be kind in their leadership. And that was a part of the message that we got as we looked at comments by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. So if we respect leadership, then we respect the male or the female, whoever is in that position of leadership. And the other thing is that we respect also the roles, and we've talked about, as you said, in these last few months, we've talked about the role that the male plays in our lives, our communities, and our relationships, especially our marriage relationship, and the role that the female plays in our lives, our communities, and our relationships. And in respecting these roles, then, as I said, we're not trying to make one like the other. So we know that the man has the responsibility to be the protector, to be the provider, and to be the spiritual and material leader. At the same time, a woman can be a spiritual and material leader, but she does it from a nurturing perspective. She does it in a different way from the male. So we talked a little bit about that. And when we talked about this idea of Shura Bain Ahum, we talked about the idea Allah tells us in Surah 42, Ayat 38 to 40. He says, and those who respond to their Lord and observe prayer and whose affairs are decided by mutual consultation and who go on spending in our cause out of what we have provided for them shall have their reward from Allah. Behold, God does not love those who do wrong. We look at this these ayats from this surah because we were looking at the idea of mutual consultation, as it says, and the presentation of clear evidence. And in that, we talked about how important it is when we bring the consultation that we should bring evidence as we are bringing information so that good decisions can be made based on that. It says here that mutual consultation is the God-given standard for decision-making between a husband and a wife, mutual consultation. And I think that was important for us. And most importantly, as we have iterated in our looking at the ripple effect and this idea of respect, the first thing we talked about was respect for God, God's will, God's word, and God's way. If we have respect for God and we make that a part of who we are as a being, and then we make it a part of who our relationship is, then with that, the consultation that we bring into the relationship will be easy because we know that it is coming from a perspective of respect for God. And so we know that that devout obedience that we have is for God first. It is for the godliness in each being. So that is the mutual expectation of devout obedience to God. And we can trust our mate when they are honoring what God has said. And so we also talked about the fact that inside of our relationship, the number one decision-making for us is what God has said. And so we all have to know our book and to be able to respond to what God has said with that mutual love, mutual respect, and mutual intimacy for one another. It goes all back to having that respect for God and his word and his book, and that brings us to a place where we can have this mutual consultation, this Shura Bain Ahum. And we got some really great comments from some of our listeners, alhamdulillah, and it was all aligned with what we were mentioning with this. But this idea of mutual consultation and obedience to those in authority was the last leg of our discussion about intimacy. And intimacy, as we discussed before, is the Islamic perspective of being able to see into your mate, the spiritual side of them, the emotional side of them, as well as the physical side of them. So intimacy, as we have often said in this discussion, intimacy is not just about a physical connection, but it is a spiritual connection, and a part of that spiritual connection is the ability to consult with one another mutually. And that, Mark, is our summary of our last program. We're ready to move forward. I'll turn it over to you.
Yes, well, I want to say takbir, Allahu Akbar, meaning God is greater in glorification of Allah. And alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belong to Allah first and foremost. Once again, an excellent overview, Quran Shakir. and bringing us up to date as to where we are in this excellent publication by our beloved sister Akila Nafisa Rashid, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Marlon Muhammad the Prophet, in making waves in our relationship with the ripple effect. You know, just want to just make a few comments before we get into tonight's learning lab. Just to underscore, if I can, some of the things in terms of, you know, the respect that we have for leadership, and as Quran so eloquently articulated, that the word Amir means leader. It doesn't mean Imam. And in the religion of Al-Islam, we are always advised that we should have an Amir, we should have a leader. I want to emphasize that it is Almighty God, Allah, who has authorized the female, the mother, to not only be the first teacher after him. Allah is the teacher for all human beings. Let's make sure that we get that clear. Allah is the teacher. But Allah has given the honor and the distinction to the mother first, to be the first teacher and the first leader for our baby girls and our baby boys. Very, very important. So that we don't see men as being only leaders, that the women are leaders. As a matter of fact, they're the first leaders. Paradise lies at the foot of the mother. You know, there's different commentary that can be made upon that, but the Sister Learning Lab will always say that this honor and distinction goes to the mother, and giving the foundational knowledge to both our baby girls and our baby boys in that regard. And so this is very, very important in terms of relationship, in terms of how we should show the respect and how we should relate to our women. Very important. And this, the intimacy, as Quran was speaking about, in terms of Amrahum, Shura Bainahum, is the Arabic in the Quran in regards to that. And so it's placed there after saying that we should not only listen to our Lord and Creator, but respond. To listen and respond first to what God says, and we ought to establish the regular prayer. This is being consciously remindful and regardful of our Lord and Creator in terms of our relationship that we have to Him, the obligation and duty, as Quran articulated. Very important to note that the devout obedience is for Allah, our Lord and Creator. But then number three here is to conduct all of your affairs. That means that all relationships are affairs. We don't use Western society to say, oh, they had an affair. Okay, so they've taken the English word, if you will, and denigrated it to something that is negative. But all affairs that we have actually are relationships that we have. A business relationship is an affair. A neighbor relationship is an affair. So we want family relationship. It is an affair. Marital is an affair. So all of our relationships are affairs. So we want to conduct them all through the principle and the process, the principle and the process of Shura Bainahum, mutual consultation. And one of the things that I often emphasize is that the prerequisites, what is the prerequisites for that? It goes back to the first principle that we have here in this publication. What Allah gives us also in the Quran is the respect for God's word, will, and way. So it begins there, but it also mutual respect for each other in the partnership. We're getting ready to get into partnership, but it has to be mutual respect. You see, because other than that, you won't if you don't respect your mate, your partner, then you won't consult with them in decision making. But that consultation reveals more of yourself to your mate. We're talking about intimacy, you see. You're able to see more when we put into practice the principle, but also the process that Allah has commanded that we utilize in conducting our affairs. Allah respects the intellect. It respects the intellect of his human creation, both the man and the woman in that regard. He gives us specific instructions by way of the Quran, and he gives us the framework in which we should think. But he also respects what it is that he has created, and he has given us the aql. He has given us the human brain, the intellect, to be able to think and to make decisions. So when we come into the sacred institution of marriage, that marriage and when two become one, then it's very imperative that we utilize this principle and process in terms of Amarhum Shurabainahum, conducting our affairs through mutual consultation. But the prerequisites, remember, to be able to do that, it requires that you have mutual respect. Is that the man has to show respect for the woman, his wife. The woman has to show respect for the man, her husband. And so with that, then the best decisions, especially if both are God-conscious and they strive to the best of their ability to be devoutly obedient to their Lord and Creator. This is very important. Can't emphasize it enough. So this will also eliminate potential problems in the relationship. I want to also say that in perspective, those who conscious regard for God's word, his will, and his way, it becomes the first authority in our life is the Quran. So, you know, in selecting and choosing a mate, we want to, first of all, ourselves be consciously regardful believers, and then we should be looking for a consciously regardful believer. Taqwa should be our dress, and we should be looking for the mate that is has the same address, have the same dress. And so that's what it is that we want to really emphasize and to address, that this is the key, not only a makeover, but establishing the type of relationship that Almighty God, Allah, intend for both the man and the woman in the sacred institution of marriage. Just want to just say those things because I think it's so very important that if we utilize what it is that Allah is giving to us in the Quran, potential problems can be eliminated, and we can have the best relationship that we can possibly have by, first of all, taking the guidance of God first. We don't have sure on what it is Allah has commanded, nor do we take sure on what it is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has demonstrated in being the Quran in that regard, but what it is that Allah leaves for us to be able to make decisions. We want to follow the principle and the process of what Shurabainahum is. So with that, back to you, Quran, and so what do we have for tonight to give to our radio listening audience? And want to say to you that anything that you've heard Quran Shakir or myself have given, and you have a question on it, more elaboration on it, please don't hesitate, don't deliberate, don't procrastinate in pressing one and asking a question, or if it's anything that Quran or myself said that you also feel like you want to make an addendum to that, to add to that, we invite you to do so. And last but not least, those of you who listen in, don't really like to talk on national radio. We would love to hear from you if it's no more than just giving the greetings and just letting us know that what is being said is resonating. And those of you very, very shy, if you choose not, you want to not state your name or be anonymous, if you are a Muslim, just give us a greeting and make your comment. And you can do that by pressing 1. And for those of you who are listening on the Internet, once again, to come into this conversation and make a contribution, you can dial 714-816-4673. Press 1, and Quran will alert me that you're in the queue in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, like a classroom, your hand up, and we'll come right to you. Back to you, Quran.
Alhamdulillah, and I want to reiterate, yes, dear listeners, you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and we do invite you to be a part of this conversation. And as Mark mentioned, we are using the book Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet to Make Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. It's written by Adila Nafisa Rashid, and we've been using this book for a while. So we're now going to get into Chapter 12, which emphasizes Principle 3. And as Mark said, that Principle 3 is partnership. I love the way that it begins, because when we start talking about partnership in a relationship, you know, the whole idea of a partner is someone who's working with you. And, you know, in marriage, we have the contract as a part of the nikah in Islam. That contract is a necessity in order for that marriage to actually be considered legitimate. So we sign a contract, as Allah tells us in the Quran, we sign a contract whenever we have future dealings with anyone. So that contract is an agreement. What shall we do in this relationship? In establishing marriage, we're building a foundation. And in building the foundation to the relationship, then you build it like you build a house. And Allah tells us in Surah 9 that the house, the best house that is established, is the one established with Allah as the foundation of it. It is not flimsy, and it will not crumble to pieces, Allah tells us in Surah 9. So we want to build a house that is built on Allah. And what better way to do that than with prayer? So the sister mentions here in the chapter 12 how the family that prays together stays together. And that's a familiar saying in the world that we have heard before. Our other brothers and sisters of other faiths have said this. The family that prays together stays together. So how is it that prayer becomes a wonderful builder, a foundation, a cement for the relationship? And I think that's important for us to understand. And so since we're talking about courtship as well, I love to mention to us so that those who are not married, you know that when you are looking at a potential mate, then you're looking at that person's value regarding prayer, because this is a part of the partnership. So how will you build your relationship with prayer? Looking at that potential mate, are they able to lead you in prayer? Do you value what they say spiritually to be able to stand behind them and pray with them if you're a sister, or to stand in front of them and lead them in prayer if you are a brother? How important is that to them? So you want to look for that. And then when Allah says that he has joined these two to work together to find tranquility in one another, sometimes that tranquility can be found in the prayer. So the prayer is a place that brings you together and can become the glue as you establish the prayer as the light of your relationship. It is, you know, the go-to, the thing that guides our relationship is our prayer. And, you know, it's a wonderful space to be in, to be able to make an appeal to Allah. Even if you are in courtship, make istikhara. And that istikhara prayer is a prayer where you ask Allah to guide you and to make it easy for you if it's good for you, and take the taste away from you if it's not good for you. That's a wonderful prayer that you make. So it's not always formal prayer that we make, but just the ability to pray and to appeal to the Creator, to reach out to him and know that he is there to become the foundation of the relationship. And I think that that establishment of prayer for us and building the partnership is a beautiful place to begin. When I'm entering a class, talking with students, I'll say, all right, everybody, before we get started, let's put God on the subject. So I'm saying in the relationship, put God on the subject. How appealing to him. Dear God, guide us, protect us, help us. So you're calling on God to be that glue to help you. And then look at how prayer then can become a uniter for you, because it brings you together to the prayer rug, literally, physically, it brings you together to the prayer rug or to the prayer space. And it also opens your mind to be open to what God has for you. And
yes.
It makes you look at each other in a different way when you have that prayer. And when there are challenges or things that may look like, oh, this is so difficult, it is prayer that heals and prayer that eases the burden for you. So we make this prayer as a way to build our partnership with one another, husband and wife, and partnership in the family itself. But the two, the husband and wife, begins the process such that this becomes the routine of the family as well. So I'm going to pause there, and if any of our listeners have questions or comments about this idea of a partnership being built on prayer, go ahead and push one on your phone, and we'll bring you into the conversation. And I do see one of our listeners has pushed one, but we'll bring you into the conversation and let you be a part of what we are discussing, and we love hearing from you. So I'm going to go ahead and welcome our listener, Mark, and then if you have comments.
Okay, yes, and most definitely I can say something after that. So let's see what a caller have on their mind, Karen.
Yes, so we're going to say 816-813. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Hi, assalamu alaikum. This is Najma again.
Alaikum assalam.
How are you both doing this evening?
We're doing fine, alhamdulillah. And yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Alhamdulillah. I'm glad we touched on some of the subject of courtship. You know, so many times I hear these different conversations, and it goes right into marriage. But I know that we have a very high divorce rate in our community at this time, and I think by you all bringing up a courtship and marriage learning lab, I love the title, because courtship, what's going on prior to these marriages is what's causing these high divorce rates in a lot of our communities. And you were mentioning prayer. I'm remembering an incident of a couple. They've been talking to each other about 2 or 3 months. This happened a few years ago in Kansas City. And they were getting up in the morning, and as far as she knew, they were saying prayer together on the phone, that type of thing. Well, when they finally married that evening, they said Margaret and Isha together, she said, and when she got up the next morning, the brother decided he was too tired and sleepy to get up. This was their first scripture together. So she went on and said her prayer, and he never saw her again. She got an annulment because she felt like that's a sign of how maybe lackadaisical he was, maybe on the phone when she didn't see him. And when he didn't get up for their first party together, she felt really uncomfortable, so she ended the marriage. The prayer itself was kind of frightening to her, that the first time they get to pray, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr, Zuhr, and Asr, he reneged on Fajr. So she ended the marriage.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad that you called in and actually shared that, because you know, as we utilizing this publication in terms of you know, the partnership, and as Karen said, we've heard it before, those who pray together, they stay together. It was Imam W.D. Muhammad, I believe, in his publication, A Social Climate for Business Success. I know he has it in that book, and I also remember a lecture where he was pointing out how you can have a successful business, and he made the statement, make Allah a partner in your business. Now, he didn't say that in terms of a relationship, but just thinking about what the Imam said there, I have, you know, over the years said, well, we should make Allah a partner in our relationship. So, you know, the conscious remembrance of Allah, Allah tells us that dhikr, Allahu Akbar, in the Quran, that the thinking and the remembrance of Allah is the greatest. And in the commentary, Tafsir Imam W.D. Muhammad, on that in the Quran, he said the thinking and the remembrance of Allah is the greatest. And then he rhetorically asked the question, the greatest for what? And he answers his own question for us. He said the greatest for having the best results in our life, for the best results. And there's various components in life. So, you know, as the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has said that marriage is one half of our deen, okay? So it stands to reason that we want to have the best results in our life, then we would prioritize prayer. And so if you're single, then you, in many instances, you're praying alone. You know, you're praying alone. And as Quran so eloquently articulated, the Istikhara prayer is a prayer that's recommended. Matter of fact, at some points here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and in initiating this, I Allah guided me to see the importance of courtship. So the reality is that all of us are not married. The sacred institution, all of us are not married. So courtship precedes partnership, because the courtship is actually to see if, in fact, there can be a partnership. So this Istikhara prayer is the first do in the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. This is the first thing we need to employ, which is the Istikhara prayer. But in that prayer, it is actually acknowledging that Allah is the best knower. He knows and we know not. So we are actually asking, requesting, begging, pleading with Allah, you know, to guide us in our decision making. Very, very important. You know, sometimes people, you know, it's like, okay, I know what you want to hear. I know what you want. And so, you know, they give you that. So then this becomes like the reputation. We was talking about this earlier in the Learning Lab, reputation versus character. We want the character to be what the reputation that it is that you sometimes send forth in regards to yourself. So obviously, you know, whatever that period of time in terms of courtship was, he was giving the sister impression, you know, that he was consciously regardful of Allah in terms of the prayers. And then when they finally take the vows, then she finds out otherwise that this is not a part of his character at all. So it's very, very important. The courtship part is very important, and the Istikhara prayer is very important, because in that prayer, it is acknowledging that God knows better than what we know, and that what it is that we need in our life. Also in that prayer is what it is that we need, not what it is that we want. The need to be married is very important, and we want to be married. And sometimes, maybe not in this case, but sometimes we are trying to live a dream in terms of what it is that we want this person to be like. And oftentimes it's just, you know, it's just dealing with the physicality of the person, but not the spirituality of the person. In that regard, we may like them, be attracted to them intellectually, and we may also have an emotional bond in that regard. But the quest in terms of actually trying to determine whether or not there can be a partnership is to try to make the invisible visible to us And so Allah is the one, as it said in the Quran, he says that he is the one that knows that which is revealed and that which is concealed. And sometimes those things are concealed. We don't see those things. So the Istikhara prayer is very, very important when we're single and we are seeking to have a mate, because Allah can and will reveal to you. This is one of the three ways that Imam Muhammad said that Allah reveals or give revelation: through inspiration, behind the veil, and also through his prophets and messengers. I won't go into that, but I think that it should be noted that Allah also can reveal to the common person, you understand, through inspiration. But that means that we have to be summoning Allah's help and assistance. You know, when we say, you know, we ask that Allah's guidance and aid and assistance in the Al-Fatiha, we say that every day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to be mindful of those words. Don't make it ritualistic. You know, when we say those words, we should be focusing on what it is that we're saying. It is only you that we worship and we serve, you know, that we work for. And it's only you that we're asking for assistance. We're asking for help. We're asking for aid. It's only you that we're doing that, you know, in that regard. So when we do that, Allah will respond to each supplicant as they summons him, his help, his assistance in that regard. So I really appreciate you, and I'm quite sure Quran, she appreciate you calling in, mm-hmm. and making that statement, because this does happen. And I don't know whether this they actually lived in the same locale or this was a long distance relationship. It's very difficult in a long distance relationship, more so than one that is local, where you, oftentimes you get opportunity to see that person. Pardon me?
It was in Kansas City. It was in the same city.
Kansas City. Okay.
In the same city?
Huh?
You said yes, in the same city?
Yes, the same city.
Same city.
Same city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They would see each other maybe at Juma or something like that, but that relationship was the so-called prayer part. And then, Brother Mark, you mentioned Istikhara. I've ran into so many Muslims, especially Muslim women. They don't know what that is. They don't know that prayer.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to, I'm just looking further down the road. So just stay tuned, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, after we finish this publication. We are, you know, in terms of thinking, I think it's going to be very important that here on IWDM, we've done it, I guess, a couple of times over the 6 years, but I think it would be good to do somewhat of a review, and we're going to do the whole of the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, and that's going to be the first thing that we'll Quran and I will go over that. And we actually will read it in its entirety, which I think is very, very important, because when we have a prayer like that, it actually has everything in it that it is that we should desire in our life. And sometimes what happens is what it is that we want versus what it is that we really need. And, you know, I'm just emphasizing those things. Because then we still in pursuit what it is that we want, as opposed to what we need. Who would know our needs better than our Creator? You see, so those are the main things, you know, that are actually being said. You know, even if you don't memorize it word for word, but many memorize it just like they memorize the Al-Fatiha. You know, in that regard. Yeah, so we'll go over that that prayer, and everything, and there are other do's and don'ts in terms of Islamic courtship. So we put a lot of emphasis on Islamic courtship because, you know, it can be courtship. And back in the day, you heard the word courtship more so than dating. This is
right.
Western society terminology in terms of dating. So there's a big difference that's there. And I think that once we go over that, you'll be able to see some of the mistakes that people actually make in terms of just dating. You know, it's a lot of times it's for impression, and courtship is more for expression and for learning. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with spending a lot of money or anything like of that nature. It's so much more different, you know, from Western society. Just like the secular, in terms of education, the Quran is an educator. There's a difference between the secular education as opposed to Islamic education. And this is very, very important, as you say, that many Muslims, you know, don't know that, and you say sisters don't know that. Well, it's important for sisters, and we put a lot of emphasis on that. If Allah has given the honor and distinction outside of himself, first to the woman in terms of being the first teacher and leader, don't that say very overtly that she has to be educated. She has to know this religion. You see, because even the emphasis is put, you know, is that when you educate a man, you educate one person. You educate a woman, you educate the nation. I mean, all life is coming through the woman. This is very important. So that backwards thinking, even with people, you know, across the water in denial of women, you know, being educated and aborting them of their rights in turn, this is a right. You see, a lot of people don't know that there are rights that everyone has. And so Allah makes it very, very clear to us. And if we understand that the right for education, and education being our number one priority in every aspect of our life, not only for men, but for women and children. We should be educating our children. And when they become, you know, as they begin to start to learn, to be learning about relationships on the level where they are, and when they come into puberty, then the education should continue on the level where they are, so they can begin to have a respect for the opposite sex, you know. So they need that guidance from the Quran, the life example of the prophet, and the parent, and the parenting play a big role in our children, informing the mindset and the disposition, the behavior that ultimately that they will display from being influenced. I always like to, as a wordologist, give that word idea, I-D-E-A. Influences determine eventual action. So we understand that the influences, what influence, the most powerful influences will determine the eventual action of our children. So it's very, very important that we begin to educate them early on and not think that they're not capable of learning. Children are amazing in what it is that they can learn. Quran probably could talk about that. I raised 7, so they amazed me. I was their teacher, but also I was their student because I learned from them. So children are very amazing in what it is that they can grasp. And also we should begin to start to teaching them early on in life so that they become those type of men and women that would be good potential mates for each other. So thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate that, you know, you sharing that. But after we complete this, we will be going to the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship.
Conversation, Sister Najla. I wanted to, for you and for our listening audience, and, you know, when you shared with me that the sister, after only 24 hours, I don't even know if it was even a whole 24 hours, ended up having to annul her relationship, that concerns me. Because in our courtship, I think it's important. You know, I was just talking the other day to a sister to say, and I also say it to brothers too, but I say in that process of courtship, as Mark says, it is an expression, then one of the questions that we ask is that person's perception of prayer. And people can tell you whatever they want, but I also say you also check out, one, their behavior since they were in the same city. I asked that. What do you see them doing when it comes to prayer? Do you witness them going to Fajr with the community, if the community offers Fajr, or when they are at Jummah? She said you would see them at Jummah. Do they actually pray, and is that the only time that they pray? But also, who are their friends? Do their friends pray? And talk to the friends. Ask them about their prayer habits. And I think it's important to find friends that they've had for years to know those prayer habits of that person. But here's the one that many of us will avoid having that conversation with, and is debatable, but I have found it to be very beneficial, and that is to have a conversation with the ex. So if it is someone who has an ex-wife or ex-husband, talk to them just to ask those kinds of questions. What was their habit for prayer? They will tell you. You will find that out. This is before you say the I do. And if you can't necessarily get to the ex, then maybe you want to talk to a former sister-in-law or a brother-in-law or, you know, someone who knew the habits of them. So you're not trying to get dirt on them, but you're trying to get clarity about who they are. Because I call this time, this courtship time, a fact-finding mission. You're getting facts on them. And I think it's important for us to be real in this process of getting these facts and not be afraid to broach these important conversations, because this is an important step in our lives, and we don't want to become serial marriers. We're like serial murderers. Serial marriers, where we're just going in and out of relationship, in and out of relationship, harming the people along the way as we do this. We harm individuals, we harm children, we harm communities when we have all these marriages over and over again. So we get all the facts we can before we make that important move to say I do. So this is just another important thing, I think, for us to examine and to consider as we're selecting our mates.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. I think that's excellent. Ask a prior family membership or spouse. That's excellent. I'm going to hit the one. Yeah. I'm out. Assalamualaikum.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. Assalamualaikum. Thank you so much. That dear sister continue to listen. Yes, alhamdulillah. Do we have any other callers in
no one has
there?
Pushed one. We have other callers, but no one has pushed one.
Okay,
so if
nobody
there,
else.
If you have a question or a comment, then you can push one, and we will bring you into the conversation. But, Mark, I'm interested in hearing your comments when we
yeah,
talk.
Yeah, you know. yeah, so alhamdulillah. Yeah, there's some excellent commentary that you actually have made in regards to prayer, and I'm glad that you addressed the singles. And especially those who are single, not married, but they're aspiring to be married, the importance of the Iskahar prayer, as I said. We will go over that here in the Learning Lab on the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. And we should be, even before then, we should be especially those who are aspiring to be married, and all of us should be aspiring to be married, if in fact that we understand that this sacred institution has been established by Allah. We often give that, it's in the Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th surah and the 54th verse, where Allah has said that he has established the human being, that he's created the human being in water, and then he established a relationship of lineage and marriage, and that Allah has power or influence over all things. This is very, very important. It should not become optional. Do I want to be married? Do I not want to be married in that regard? We always have to prioritize the Quran and what it is that Allah has established for us, and He knows best what is best for us. That's why He established it. And there's a system of knowledge that comes along with that. The system of knowledge, Imam Muhammad gave us Rabbil Alameen, that Allah is the teacher of all the systems of knowledge in terms of what has been created. I'm also adding what it is that He has established. So you just think about, you know, just even on a human level. I remember back in the day, Quran, different restaurants you would visit, a lot of times they would have on the window the establishment, the date that something was established or whatever. So Allah, whatever it is that He creates and whatever He establishes, this is His property. This is His property in terms. So the sacred institution of marriage is the property of Allah. And this is what He has given to us for us to realize our full potential. So it's part of God's will and plan for the maturation of the human being. And so when we look at prayer in terms of being able to do that, when you were doing it, had to do it by yourself, now you understand you have a mate, a partner. So when we talk about partnership, you know, the first part of that word is part. Each one have a part. I write that our beloved sister there in Kansas City mentioned Fajr prayer. You know, one of the unique things in terms of the Adan, As-salatu kana minanum, that's not said for that part is not implemented in the other four salats. But that's very, very important. And oftentimes it's translated as prayer is better than sleep. But in the tafsir, the clear explanation that Imam Muhammad has given to those who, and I don't claim to be an Arabic scholar, you know, a little something, but the word min is a preposition. And it is from, it can be van, but from. But now if we change that and say, you know, a salatu kana minanum, that prayer is better from sleep, this changes the whole connotation altogether. That means that you have to wake up from an unconscious state to a conscious state to make prayer. Because Allah instructs us in the Quran that you cannot come to prayer in a befogged mind, with a befogged mind. It doesn't mean just in terms of alcohol or drugs, you know, we shouldn't be doing that anyway. But a befogged mind can be that you are actually sleepy. So you have to wake up, get up. You understand? You have to perform the wudu or the ghusl. The ghusl, depending on whatever the state that you're in, and then perform the salat. So it requires more of an effort, and there's a lot of debate in terms of what is the middle prayer, you see. So, but this Adan also says, because Imam Muhammad has said to us, that everything has a degree of importance, you see. But prayer is better from sleep because why? You're putting forth more of an effort coming from a relaxed state, an unconscious state, to a conscious state to perform the Salatul Fajr. Very, very important. And, when you can do that and have a mate, your mate with you, well, that's even better. Anytime that we're able to pray more than just by ourselves, it's greater blessings in that. So we also want to look at prayer in terms of the blessings. We are the recipient of those blessings. You know, when we remember Allah, it said that when we remember Allah, Allah remembers us. I think it's important that in the courtship that you actually have conversation and communication in regards to prayer. And those things that, you know, that have been established by Allah for us, these are pillars. We should recognize that these are pillars. And what are pillars? Pillars are something that help to uphold something that has been built or established. So relationships the same way. They have to have pillars. These are pillars for our individual life, but then they become pillars for our married life. It becomes pillars for the family life. It becomes pillars for the community life. It becomes pillars for the world of humanity at large. See, this is the way that it is that we have to think that this is so very important. We go back to this, looking at the secular in terms of education. There was a time whereas that they opened up with prayer, you see. But in Islamic education, it's always prayer that's going to be first. We're always inviting Allah's help and assistance. You know, the most often repeated verses, the seven often repeated verses. Do we know that it is that before we begin anything, I don't care how much it is that we have, you know, accustomed to doing it or we professional, that we should always say Bismillah or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Do we not understand that that is the first ayat of Al-Fatiha? We're saying, that is a verse of the Quran. And you hardly ever hear any speaker or what, or anybody that's going to present anything that is a Muslim or believer without saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We never think about these things, but we have to impart that on to our children so they can grow up in them and begin to teach them the importance of prayer, and that we're always going to be the beneficiary of it as often as much as it is that we are remembering Allah, Allah is remembering us. So if we begin to think like that, you know, Quran, that this is very, very important. And then we're talking about partnership. This helps to solidify the partnership. You know, when we talk about complete obedience,
yeah.
Allah says establish the regular prayer. Now you have an opportunity because there might be times where both will also be inspirational and encouraging to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You see in that regard, you know. So I could say more, but I think I've said enough, you know, in regards to that.
Yeah,
let's
go to one of our listeners who has something to say. And
good.
Yes. So we are going to go to 219-484. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes.
Who are you and where you calling from? I know that famous voice, but everybody may not know who you are.
Okay, Dr. Jamal Rashid from Gary, Indiana.
Yes, sir.
I definitely agree with everything that you have said, Brother Mark, as far as the Quranic recommendations on prayer and its importance. And the recommendations, all the recommendations that Allah has recommended throughout the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to, if I have a couple of minutes, when you mention that all people are inspired to be married, and we understand that since we do have that inclination, since we are social creatures, no one wants to be alone. And so by our very nature, we want to be connected. And so the opposite, we're not speaking of no same sex, we want to be naturally connected to the opposite mate. That's just a natural inclination. And so with that problem, what problems come out since we have high divorce rates and breakups and et cetera, is when we understand we are what we eat. And so when we understand that the culture is a major dominant influential force in how people pattern their life after. We are followers by nature. And so with that being said, you have to look at the values of what people have been led or manipulated to look for a mate. And when you hear people saying certain things like, I'm looking for a six-pack and a smile, when they're invited to that mindset. And when you hear the males talking about, she's a bad mamma jamma, and all the accolades that goes with the physical and what she can do for me, when that mindset comes into, or what can he do for me? So when you have all these mindsets being manipulated by the culture of what is preferably the ideal mate, then you can see where people obviously start off, like the army says, left, left is emphasizing wrong. And so with premarital sex, with premarital sex as the ultimate, you know, goal, where if she doesn't have sex with me after three dates, then I'm a, you know, find a quitter and forget her, you know, the, what I call, teach my students, there's the four F's, find her, fool her, the word F, and then forget her. When that mentality is there, dominant among the peers of the males, and she's looked at as a toy or a plaything or just a media self-gratification. When all those mindsets and many more, I can't spend too much more time on this, but everybody should get the idea of what is plaguing the minds of the whole society when it comes towards connecting to a mate.
Okay. Excellent. So, yeah, so Dr. Rashid, Karan and I are going to respond to that. That is so profound what it is that you said and very, very real. So, Karan, you heard Dr. Jamal Rashid express in terms of the influence, as Imam Muhammad called the popular, I'm called it popular culture in that regard. So how would you respond to that, you know, Karan, what Dr. Jamal has said, the influence and impact, obviously, that it has had on the mindset, the thinking on many, many people has infiltrated into their mind. Karan?
You know, I must respond by saying without a doubt, most definitely, Dr. Rashid, you are right on track. With there is has been an impact and an influence in our world, and we have to be prayerful. Since we're on this pillar of prayer, we have to be very prayerful as a community to be watchful of this. But in watching this, one of the first thing you said was that we have to watch what we eat. You talked about, you know, what we feed ourselves, and that feeding of ourselves is not just physical food. So it is the music that we listen to. It is the media that we surround ourselves with even. But sometimes you can listen to news, and it begins to desensitize you to certain things. And, you know, you talked about how we are very much interested in what Allah has commanded for us, and that is attraction to the opposite sex. Well, society has groomed us, and I mean groomed us over decades now, to look and accept something that Allah has already said no to. And so, yes, there is definitely influence in our society going on, and we then have the duty and the responsibility to make sure that in our circles, in our families, in our communities, in our spaces, that we are speaking up for our children's protection, number one, but for the protection of our relationships as well. And so I love what you said about how premarital sex, you know, dipping in that for the reasons of no respect for the woman, you know, just to get some. And they make it so just abnormal. If you look at some of the things they show this happening, like in a bathroom, on a counter, you know, just at a whim. People you don't even know, you just met going on. And so we have to be careful. So, yes, I agree with what you're saying, Dr. Rashid, that it is pulling us away from the strength that we should have in our relationships. It's a fight that we have going on right now.
Yes. How many
lives?
That's, you know, that's
if
excellent.
I
you know,
say something real quick, Mark.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Dr. Rashid.
I didn't make myself perfectly clear what I meant when I said we own what we eat. That was my mistake for not clear.
No. I understood it. But if you want to
add
something to it, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that so the listeners will understand, too, that I was preferably speaking we are what we eat on a mental level, a full mental.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she got that, and I did, too. And so thank you for clarifying that also. You know, as a wordologist, when you came on and you said we are what we eat, you know, this was a famous saying by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I often talk about the word diet, D-I-E-T, you know. And the question has to be asked in this acronym that I use a lot of times in learning labs. Do I, capital I, eat that? Do I eat that? You know, and this acronym, it actually is implicating discretion has to be used. Do I eat that? We don't eat everything physical food in terms of nourishment of our bodies. Our minds are very, very important. It is a component of the human being. Do I eat that? And when we look at the physical anatomy, there's different systems that comprise the holistic composition of the human being. There's a system called the excretory system. That is the elimination system in the physical body. Well, the same thing has to happen in terms of the mental makeup. There have to be an excretory system for eliminating those things that are not nurturing, that are not nutritional, that is not a benefit for having a healthy mind, a healthy mind. One of the things that have to happen, obviously, as we teach in the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, we're all familiar with the Sahih Hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, in terms of relating and conveying what it is that Allah delivers to us and each baby that is born, that is a true Muslim. That is a Muslim, and Imam Muhammad say that we can translate that or utilize that as true human being. Then the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, he goes on to say, but it is their parent or parenting and mm-hmm. their environment. What environment? Their social environment that makes them otherwise. Okay, so this is, and I say that because this is one of the things that inspired me to establish the Sister Learning Lab, which is Parenting and Family Reconstruction. Okay, so if the Prophet is saying that the parenting And also the social environment is what makes us otherwise, takes us away from the fitra, the original nature. See, that is to be nurtured and cultivated. You know, really, Allah tells us in the Quran, don't change that. That is the religion, but most men or minds don't understand that. So this is so very, very important that the first social unit in society is the family life. So where is it that we can begin to start the eating first after the baby is delivered from the womb of the mother? It is in the first social unit. You know, and I know you know this very well, Dr. Rashid. I think you have a master's degree in sociology or social work or what. The family life is so very, very important that whereas that the child, the baby, is first fed is in the family life. We're talking about mental food here. We're talking about spiritual food here. One of those things, you understand, that make up components of the wholeness of the human being, it is addressed first or should be addressed first in the family life. We don't even, in many cases, equip our children to be able to deal with the popular culture in terms of what is being said to them. If we understand what Imam Muhammad is saying to us, that words make people, what words are our children hearing in the family setting, in the first social environment? You see, many of our children, you know, just have just one parent come to a one-parent household. Karen and I have been doing, I know she's done some research on this. And so we're talking about anywhere from 70 to 75, maybe almost close as high as 80%. Of our children coming into a one-parent household. And then what type of language environment are they coming into? As Karan talked about, in terms of the music and the cultural expression that actually leaves impression upon them. But we have an opportunity in the first social setting, which is the family life, and also the extended family, which becomes community life. This is where we have to make our inroads in terms of impressions upon our children and give them a solid foundation to be able to deal with that. And so when we start talking about we are what we eat, what is our diet? What is our diet? And then teach our children. You know, I have a class that I've established here in the Gateway City for the youth and young adults. I do that every fourth Sunday. And the title of that, the umbrella, is Words Make People. Ask yourself, do I eat that? Everybody got a diet. All diets are not good. But do I eat that? In other words, Imam Muhammad has said that we have to select the things that go into our mind. And we have to select. We don't put anything. We just wouldn't eat anything physically. Why should we eat anything mentally, or even that's going to affect us emotionally, but also spiritually, and also have a profound effect on us socially? And then where is the morality in it? Do I eat that? So I would challenge us that as educators, you know, to teach our children and then give them that acronym. Say, you should always have a diet. You are what you eat. What is your diet? And that means, do I eat that? But if we teach them, in many cases it'll be lah. No, I don't eat that. Yeah, you know, I could say more about that, but I'm grateful that you listening in and called in because yes. This doesn't help to solidify the sacred institution of marriage, because we should become God-conscious people, and being that is what it is that we should be looking for. That should be a priority. That should be a priority. We have to prioritize those things that's most important in our life, And the influence, I just gave the word idea. Influence is determined eventual action. So if the action that we are making or the decisions that we are making, then that means that the wrong influences. The word wrong is a weak reality obtaining nothing good. We want to have what is Allah says is al-haq. This is an attribute of Allah, but that is the truth or the reality. This becomes the responsibility of parents to instill that in their children, and prayerfully that it would grow up in our children in terms of their thinking and their decision-making. But oftentimes our children don't have that foundation. But this is what we have to be given to them. It's a lot more I could say about that. But I appreciate you calling in and stating that, because this is a reality in many of the lives of people, not only African-American people, but just people just in general. They start off wrong. Yes, sir.
Yes, it's a
so thank you so much,
Rashid,
for bringing that up. But just to give something in terms of go back to what it is that the Prophet has said, and those two things in terms of parenting and environment, social environment, and that the responsibility that we have. I always say we have to take responsibility. I learned from Imam Muhammad as a student when he was talking about the word black. He said it means to be black. Well, I taught my children about the word blame. That is to be lame. We don't want to be lame all our life in terms of blaming others, but it is like, what is it that we are actually doing, you understand, to, as your show, Solutions for Critical Issues, that airs every Thursday morning on our sister station, AM 360, with Dr. Jamal Rashid and his co-host on there, Brother Henry Hasib, on there. They have an excellent production, Solutions for Critical Issues. These are critical issues that we're all confronted with, and Muslims are not exempt. They're not exempt in that. But then what are the solutions? You know, we can rehearse the problems all day long, and we become very good at, I'm talking about overall in terms of rehearsing problems, but this is where Quran and I are doing this learning lab and the sister learning lab on parenting and family reconstruction and courtship and marriage, to give the solution. Give the solution. So this is not just a mainstream media type talk show where everybody just, you know, we invite people to call in and contribute, but, you know, they need answers. People need answers today, because we have some critical issues that we're dealing with as human beings. So the solution is always Al-Islam for us, and we should share that not only with other Muslims in our community, but share that with humanity at large, because it can be a help and a benefit to all that can and will listen. Thank you so much, Dr. Jamal. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, Quran. Do we have any other callers in the queue? That was an excellent statement.
Yes, it was an excellent statement. Yes. Dr. Jamal, it sounds like he's trying to make one more comment, and I did put him on mute. And so, let me bring him back in and see if he's trying to make a comment. And then we'll get to the rest of this chapter. Dr. Rashid, do you have another comment?
Yes, I do. Just to reiterate what Mark just stated about seeking refuge, you know, with the mental food, you know, with the abstract, you know, it's hard to detect bad diets mentally. We can't see that physically. Mm-hmm. So that's why Allah recommends that we always seek refuge with him. I was a believer in the shaitan and
Rajim. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
we appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, thank you, Doc. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and if you would, please push one on your phone and continue to listen. And we appreciate having listeners like you and Sister Najla. Sister Najla, if you would push one on your phone as well, we appreciate that. And so right now, no, we don't have any more callers, Mark, that have pushed one on their phone. We have a lot of listeners listening this evening.
Okay.
And so if any of you have a comment or a question, feel free to push one on your phone. and we will gladly bring you into the conversation, answer your questions, or just hear from you so you can give us a greeting and let us know you're here. And if you are listening online, we invite you to join us in the studio by dialing 714-816-4673. You are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I am Quran Shakir, and I am graced with the co-host, Brother Mark Shaheed. And we are very happy to bring you this program each and every Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So, yes, you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and tonight we are looking at principle number 3 in the book that we are studying, and that book is Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet, to make waves in your marriage with a ripple effect. And that ripple has its beauty in that it stands for important principles that we should be implementing in our marriage. And right now we're on the P, which is for partnership. And in looking at partnership, we are looking at prayer as the first part of partnership. And so I also wanted to look at, as we're looking at this prayer, to look at the ways we use prayer in the partnership, because that's how I think she has emphasized for us this important value. And I love the way she takes us back to the Quran, because we already talked about the importance of using the Word of God as the foundation for building our relationships. And that found that Word of God in building the foundation for the relationship, it solves all differences that you may have. Take it back to what God has said. And we don't use the Quran or God's Word as a weapon ever. We use it as a healing. We use it as something to bring us comfort and to bring us resolution in our relationship. But one of the important points that she makes when we talk about the ways to use prayer in the partnership is this idea of holding fast, she says, and hold fast all together by the rope which Allah stretches out for you. I love the way this ayat begins, and this is Surah 3, ayat 103. Hold fast all together by the rope which Allah stretches out for you. And here we have here this idea that Allah gives us rope. And that rope, you know, is a thing that can tie things together, or it can pull you up when you're down. But here it says Allah stretches out this rope for you, and we hold fast all together by the rope. So I think when we look at prayer, here's an opportunity to hold fast by this rope and be not divided among yourselves. So even if we find differences, we don't let our differences divide us. And I think that's important for us when we're talking about building strong relationships. We shouldn't let our differences divide us. Even if you're on a fact-finding mission in courtship, when you find the differences in a person, because you were on a fact-finding mission, there is no hurt for you when you end that connection that you may have with that person, because you are only seeking facts. And when you seek those facts, then you decide, do I continue this and build a partnership with this person, or do we part our ways and remain in a friendship, so to speak, or, you know, it's just friendly, but it's not a relationship anymore. But never should we be divided among ourselves. And then Ayah continues, she says, and remember with gratitude Allah's favor on you, for you were enemies and he joined your hearts in love, so that by his grace you became brothers, and you were on the brink of the pit of fire and he saved you from it. Thus does Allah make his signs clear to you that you may be guided. So this ayat that this sister brings to us as this opportunity for prayer is, I think, so beautiful, because Allah talks about, and when he talks about how you were divided as enemies, separated as enemies, you were in this place, and Allah had to bring your hearts together. And only Allah can do that. It was a battle. And it was war, and it was differences going on in the city at that time, and a lot of the Quraysh and the Meccans were angry with the Muslims who were choosing this new way of life. And Allah caused it such that when they did connect, those who took their shahada and those who did not, he still made it so that they could find peace with one another. So some of them who were once in battle and fighting one another, once they took shahada, now you're brothers. And they had to learn to live with one another. And I think that is an important example for us when we're looking at, even if we have had to go through the most hated allowable divorce in our communities, we still should not be divided. We should find a way to find peace with one another. Can we do that? Can we make peace with someone who we are no longer with and we have found that we need to divorce? So even in our relationships like that, when we have to do that, we should not be divided, because Allah tells us this in Quran. And if this is the guiding force for us, then we want to honor what Allah says, and we should not be making enemies with one another. And pray that Allah does continue to join our hearts, so that by his grace we can be brothers, and that may Allah be the one who guides us, and we use his signs to guide us. So that was one of the things that I looked at when the sister was sharing this, and she has three other ayats that I can talk about, but I want to pause to give you opportunity if you have a comment.
I think you said, as we say down south, you said a mouthful there, but this is such a beautiful ayat, you know, where it's an expression in the Quran in terms of extending a rope, and as you so eloquently articulated, how important it is to have something to hold on to. And so this goes back to Dhikr Allahu Akbar, that thinking and remembering Allah is the best, or is the greatest. And as the Imam said, the greatest for what? For getting the best results in our life. And so whether it's in prosperity or in adversity, and we will be tested and challenged with both. Mm-hmm. In the Quran, Allah tells us that we will try with both, not only adversity, but also prosperity. Prosperity. And all, it'll be a challenge, a trial for both, in the relationship. So, and then in terms of even identifying, well, what is that rope? What is that rope, that will keep us from parting company and keeping us together, keeping us united, keeping us in an amicable state with each other? It's being consciously regardful of God, of his word, his will, and his way. This is a powerful, powerful ayat. Ayat being an instructing sign, giving us a message that it is by God's word and his word of revelation that we are to always hold on to that. But only the one that is consciously regardful of him. Of course, we can't see Allah in that regard. So what is that we have to hold on? We have to hold on first and foremost to what his word of revelation. That is the guidance for the life that we have. And then we have to understand that Allah has given us a will, but he has a will. And we have to be in accordance with the rest of creation as it conforms to what God's will is. It expresses what God's will is for it in its creation. This is the same thing for the human being in that expression in terms of the marriage life. So this is an excellent, excellent ayat, an instructing sign to and for us to keep a united relationship, to really formulate the type of partnership which is, so very, very important. I was just thinking it was something that I wanted to give, and it kind of eluded my my memory. We was talking about something I think Dr. Jamal had brought up, maybe to come back to me. I had it on my mind, but then I lost it because when we went to something else. But maybe to come back to me before we actually sign off. But this is a powerful, powerful message, Quran, that Allah has given to us in the Quran, in terms of how He extends to us that rope. That is a help, that is a benefit to us, regardless of what our situation or circumstance is. And so with that, give it back to you, so perhaps we can get maybe one or two more of those ayahs that she's referencing in the Quran. And this is a beautiful publication that we do recommend, that you can purchase that book in Quran. I'll tell you how you can purchase it, whereas that you can follow along with us here on Worship and Marriage Learning Lab. You can follow along as Quran highlights different things that are in that, and you can follow along with that. And then it's a good resource book, if you will, for then studying the comments that she make. She's using, utilizing the Quran. And these are the type of publication that Imam Muhammad wanted us as a community to do. I want to say that I'm working on my publication, which is the True Love Recipe. I've done that here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Maybe we'll do some of those from A to Z, using the English alphabet in terms of what qualities, characteristics, I'm calling those ingredients, natural ingredients, organic ingredients, and only those things are natural preservatives in preserving what true love is, and giving a definition from an Islamic perspective what true love is, and not a Western society. So these are the type of publications that we should have, and I'm utilizing the Quran. Many of those qualities and everything, they actually are in revelation that it is that we should have. So back to you, Quran. I could say a lot. And yeah. I'm still trying to figure that, which I forgot. How about that?
Hopefully it'll come back to you as we continue to talk. So I want to push forward with this beautiful concept of prayer as a partnership in the relationship. And, you know, I because we're the courtship and marriage, then I do want to continue to emphasize both sides for those seeking and for those that have said yes and are in a marriage relationship. The ayat that the sister brings up that I think is important here for us to discuss is the next one, I should say, is the one, Surah 2, ayats 45 to 46. And I love this one because this says to us, and seek assistance through patience and prayer. It is indeed hard, except for those who humble themselves, who know that they shall meet their Lord and that they shall return to Him. Wow. So I want to say with that one, when we're seeking a mate, we go and shake Google, and we seek all kinds of literature and things. But Allah tells us right here a formula. Seek help with patience and prayer. Patience is something that so many of us can stand to gain. Patience means that you're not talking a lot. You're looking a lot. You are standing by, working, so you're not waiting for something to happen. But you are working and making things happen as you watch. And, you know, the less you talk, the more you hear. And what you will hear will be their behavior. You will hear them talk. Let people talk. And they'll start to tell on themselves. Sometimes you don't have to do all the talking. And don't be afraid of silence. That's some patience.
to be there. But that prayer, that you do, she says, seek assistance with patience and prayer. So that prayer that we're making then is for Allah's guidance and for Allah's help. And then she follows it. I mean, I'm not her. Allah follows it with this statement that it is indeed hard. It is indeed hard. So it's not something that's easy. We cannot expect it to be easy to seek the assistance that we need, to have that patience and to have that prayer in the seeking of it. Allah has already declared it is indeed hard. He didn't say it's hard. He said it is indeed hard, except to those that humble themselves, who know that they shall meet their Lord and they shall return to him. So if we humble ourselves, and what does humility look like for us? You know, how do we define humility? What do you look for when you look for the humble person? Not for the rich person. Not for the person, as Dr. Rashid said, or I think it was Naja, one of them, who said the person with the six pumps. Allah doesn't name these physical qualities. He doesn't name these physical qualities. He says patience. He says prayer. He says humble yourself. So we're looking for the person who is humble, and they know that they're going to meet their Lord. And so there's a certain language they use. There's a certain behavior that they use. You'll see it in them. And this is your mood that you have chosen. Inshallah, you've chosen well because you look for those qualities. And so as you all begin to interact with one another, you interact with this humility, you interact with this patience, and you interact with the prayer together, and that grows that relationship, and Allah makes it easy for you in doing this. So I love that ayah, those two ayahs that she gives us from Surah 2, where we have this opportunity then to make a connection with our mates and our potential mates through prayer, through patience, and humility. So I'll pause there. There is a caller listening who has a question or a comment about what we said thus far. Go ahead and push 1 on your phone. And if you are out in the studio, and I know every time I say that I see the numbers grow. If you're out in the studio, I'm sorry, if you're out online listening, come on into the studio with us. We invite you to join us. And you can do that just by dialing into the studio at 714-816-4673. Join us. Being in the studio, you can be a part of the conversation. So push 1 if you just want to give the greeting. Push 1 if you have a question. Push 1 if you have a comment. Or push 1 if you're just sitting there saying, wow, we'll take that too. So go ahead and push 1 and be a part of this conversation with us. But you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I am Quran Shakir. And my co-host this evening is Brother Mark Shaheed. And we like to come to you every Thursday with this beautiful conversation about courtship and marriage using the Quran and our book, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet to Make Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. We are on Chapter 12, looking at the peace for partnership and the idea of prayer and partnership. All right, Mark, I'm to give you an opportunity to respond.
Yeah, well, alhamdulillah. Well, that thought came back to me. Well, I wanted to give a radio listening audience what I call a gold nugget. If you can use it, then you can put it in your purse or you can put it in your pocket. And it actually is an acronym that I use for the word prayer, paving roads around your efforts routinely. Paving roads around your efforts routinely. What does that mean? You understand? Prayer paved roads around your efforts routinely. Very, very important. You know, when we talk about in terms of the benefit of prayer, we are to pray, and then we are to put forth the effort. We could go to the Quran, and I think it's Surah 53, Ayat 39 in the Quran, where Allah says that the human being can only get what they consciously, you know, put effort, make, would consciously strive for, which is effort, which is work. And then as soon it would be made manifest. So we're talking about in terms of actually the benefit in this Quran, and I'm going to make some commentary on those two qualities in terms of humility and also patience. So Allah says that the human being can only get what they consciously strive for. So in striving for something, meaning that you have to put in effort or you have to put in work. Mm-hmm. And then Allah says in the next ayat, 53:40, and soon it would be made manifest. So when we are looking at prayer, when we are looking at prayer, it paves roads. It helps us to get to where we want to go. And there are goals that should be obvious in the sacred institution of marriage. It paves roads around your efforts routinely. So routinely is that prayer is made often, 5 times a day. Okay, so that becomes the routine for mm-hmm. us in that regard. But prayer paves the roads around your efforts. It helps you to be able to get there. So you just don't stay in that state. You know, we often heard about the man that stayed in the Musalla all day long, and he just prayed, and he dhikr'd, he prayed, he fasted, and he dhikr'd. And when the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, asked those ones, you understand, who takes care of him? And there was a resounding, we do, and the Prophet said, you are better than he.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So it is prayer and effort. It is prayer and work. You understand? Because we are striving for something. And when we talk about the sacred institution of marriage, we're striving to please Allah in this sacred institution of marriage. Because if we understand that He has designed and established this for our growth and development as human beings. You know, I know the Army used to have this commercial, I'll be all that you can be, sign up. No, you'll be all you can be if you get married. So you'll be all that you can be, all Allah intended for you to be. Because in that, challenges will come about. And this leads me to, in terms of the patience that you have to have. And this is, you know, in the true love recipe, patience, and when we get to the letter P, patience is vitally needed and necessary. We have to patiently practice patience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And as the old saying goes, either be patient or become one. And so sometimes in the relationship, you become almost a mental, you know, patient because you haven't learned to be patient. Humility also is in the true love recipe, the humility. You know, the opposite is the arrogance. We don't want to have any of the qualities and characteristics of the Iblis that actually devolved to become Shaitan. See, so the humility always opens us up to be able to grow, you understand, and not have an arrogant disposition, but one of humility. You know, you can see, as the Quran says, you can see that in the person. And this is what Allah likes in terms of being humble. I remember Imam Muhammad telling us when we talk about prayer, he said that when we're performing the salat, the most precious position in the salat is that of sajda.
Mm-hmm.
Sajda. It is so, as when you look at it and people observe it, even people that are non-Muslim, they love to see that because how they're relating to that is like entire submission to our Lord and Creator. In sajda, it also is the position that we see in terms of the birth or the beginning, when we see that the baby, you understand, making its way into this new life, that baby is in sajda. If the baby comes out feet first, it's called a breech birth. So sajda, you understand, implicates and insinuates, you understand, total submission. And if we notice that in sajda there are 8 points, and one of those points that's actually touching the ground or the floor is our forehead. In terms of submitting, to submit, you have to exemplify humility, not arrogance. And so this is the big challenge for the human being. I could say a lot more about that, but these two qualities, very, very important. These two qualities was exemplified by Prophet Muhammad, who's the model for us in terms of patience and also humility. To even become Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, he had to humble himself, empty himself totally out, make himself the vessel in which Allah deposited his last revelation, the Quran, in. Back to you, Quran.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I just want to add to this sajda. When you said sajda, it brings a smile on my face, because in addition to how beautiful it looks to see it, I just want to say, doing sajda feels so good. It feels so good. And, you know, sometimes when people are troubled, I say to them, let me just tell you, you let all that stuff be on your shoulders, and then you make your prayer and you make sajda, let it fall off your shoulders onto the prayer work and leave it there. It just feels so good. And also in our world, there's a thing called grounding. And when you look at the position that the scientists tell you for grounding, it is sajda, that same position. And they tell you that this is what you do to release all of the energy and all of the microbes that you get from computers and digital devices. When you need to let some of that out of you, you make sajda. They don't call it sajda, but that's sajda. They call it grounding. But, and sajda grounds you. That humility grounds you. Yes, it's a balance for you. And I know we are at the end of our program, and so I just want to just say that as we conclude this idea of prayer and partnership, that one of the things we have to do is, as the Quran tells us in Surah 2, Ayah 153, is seek Allah's help, and that to know that Allah is with those who patiently persevere. And that there's a hadith that the sister brings into play in this book that says that Allah says, I am as my servants expect or think I am. And so we have to bring into our thinking this concept of Allah being there for us, being available to us, being available to us as individuals and being available to us collectively as a couple, as a family, as a community. He's there for us. So he is as we expect or see him to be. And if we put that thinking on, then we know that Allah will help us through our search for a good mate, and he will help us through building the best of relationships that we need. And as he says in his book, Surah 2, Ayat 160, if Allah helps you, there is none that can overcome you. And if he forsakes you, who is there after that that can help you? And God then lets the believers put their trust. So we trust in Allah to guide our relationship, to be available to us, to help us through these wonderful times and the trying times. So thank you very much, dear listeners, for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we look forward to you next week. Just want to remind you, if you haven't already, go ahead and like us on Facebook. Bring It to the Lab is our name. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram. Bring It to the Lab is our name. And go ahead and write us down if you don't feel like emailing us right now. But email us anyway. Just say, great show. Try this for the show. Whatever you want to say, email us. Bring It to the Lab at gmail.com. It's been a pleasure. Mark.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. I want to thank you, as always, Quran Shakir, for the excellent insight and wisdom that you share with us each and every Thursday here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I want to thank the radio listening audience for tuning in, listening in, being very patient and persevering, if you will. And a special thanks go out to our two callers that called in and made contributions. I want to thank you for doing that. And also I wanted to alert you that here on IWDM, tomorrow is Salatu Jumu'ah Day. And we ask that those of you who may not be able to get out and about to your local masajids and Islamic centers in your locale, that you can tune in to IWDM with our beloved Imam Michael McHale Sayer, longtime resident Imam there in Indianapolis, Indiana, in the Salatu Jumu'ah, and that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And, of course, that number is the same as it is that you called in to the studio live here. That's 714-816-4673. That's each and every Friday with Salatu Jumu'ah with Imam Michael McHale Sahir out of Indianapolis, Indiana, longtime resident Imam of An-Nur Islamic Center. Also, the longest production that we have here on IWDM Radio, Words Make People, once again with the distinguished, esteemed host, Imam Michael McHale Sahir, Words Make People. That happens each and every Sunday afternoon here on IWDM Radio, beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern, high noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Also, don't forget about the Sister Learning Lab that happens each and every Wednesday, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, with our very distinguished and esteemed co-host, Dr. Patricia Slaudin, and also Naja Abdul-Tawab. And Sister Naja Abdul-Tawab will be with me next week, inshallah, God willing. And they always disseminate excellent information and education on what correct parenting is and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. So please tune in for that. And then following that is the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. As I always like to invite very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also outside of our community and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. So that follows, and that starts at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And of course, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that you just have heard, Quran Shakir, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, each and every Thursday night, beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. If you actually have enjoyed this learning lab and you have learned something from it, you found it to be a benefit, Quran and I ask that you don't keep it to yourself, that you let a family member know, you let some of your friends know, you let your associates, your neighbor, a community member, to tune in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It doesn't matter what your status is, whether you're not married, you're divorced, you're upset, you understand, you're on the fence in terms of marriage, you got a good marriage, it could be better or what in that regard, bring it to the lab. Bring it to the lab. And so we do ask that you do respond to us on these very utilities that have been set up. And then like us on Facebook, as Quran is always sending out a blast there, or, you know, posting and all. We do ask that you respond to that. So, and we do ask that you also support Study Al-Islam with our beloved Sister Fitcher Muhammad. That happens each and every Sunday morning. Those of you in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, that will be 10 a.m. for you. Central Standard Time would be 9 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, it'll be 7 a.m. with Study Al-Islam is some of our most outstanding intellects, including our beloved sister Quran Shakir, have been on there several times on Study Al-Islam. Some excellent topics, life topics, that Fitcher and Muhammad have constructed for these outstanding intellects. They shared 30 minutes with us, very powerful, extraordinary information that would be a benefit to all of us. We ask that you dial in 712-770-4160, and you have to put in the access code. The access code is 684012#. If you happen to miss it, you change that 0 to a 9, and you can get the last presentation by the last presenter that happens each and every Sunday morning on Study Al-Islam. We do ask that you support the Muslim Journal. That is the lifeblood of our community for a long, long time. My beloved sister and friend, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, have been working with this for a long time. And we also ask that you get a subscription. If you have a subscription, think about a family member. Think about a friend, a neighbor, a community member, and especially some of our senior citizens that we can actually give a gift to in terms of subscription, which is a prescription for us as a community to share with them. And also, we ask that you support the Time to Be Grateful 2021. It's going to be hosted by the Atlanta Masjid there in the Jewel of the South, the ATL. I think that website, the Quran can keep us updated as it has been established, to go online and make sure that you register for the 2021 Time to Be Grateful. It's going to be an outstanding event. It's going to be virtual, but I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised, as ATL always do it in the best way. So, and then we also are asking you to make donations, those of you that was planning on going. Think about that and some of the money that you would have had to spend to donate, as this is the largest fundraiser for the Muslim Journal in supporting to sustain and maintain the lifeblood of our community, which is the Muslim Journal. So please give that consideration. And we're looking at having our beloved sister, Aisha K. Mustafa, and perhaps Quran Shakir, and perhaps someone else, you understand, that's on the planning committee there in Atlanta one more time before that event actually happens. So with that being said, I want to thank all of you, and may God's peace be with you now and always. Until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum. It's awful.